Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's screaming from the rooftops for the big banks to help out America's small businesses, the Robin Hood of small business.
Now, don't be so with the banks. Hell, we fired our CEO and he barely got out with $50 million.
That poor man, is he okay?
Well, as okay as you can be in the north of France.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Very excited about our good friend Doug Barry being back on the show. Doug's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, coming up on more than 12 years now. I'm coming up on 13 years. Deputy Director of the Global Knowledge Center at the Global Markets at the Department of Commerce, and an organization that I have always been happy to tell you about because they help small business owners so much in getting their exporting business off the ground. So much, so many great resources, and not any of them any greater than our good friend Doug Barry. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. How are you doing?
We're doing great. It's good to have you back. Folks, the books that Doug has produced, Exporters, the Wit and Wisdom of Small Business People Who Sell Globally, which is an outstanding newer book. And then, of course, the Bible on the topic, right? The Basic Guide to Exporting, right?
That's right. A new edition is coming out in a month.
And you're working on an e-commerce book, which is something that I just think is going to be, I think, but it's before you and I shuffle off this mortal coil, Doug, I think that global e-commerce, doing business across borders with e-commerce is going to explode. What do you think?
I think you're right. And, you know, in doing the research for the book, one of the things that amazed me, and it might amaze you and your listeners, but probably not amaze you because I think you know, but what I found surprising is in looking at some of these studies that have been done just in the last year, really large numbers of consumers in all parts of the world that were surveyed, and the conclusions of these studies, there's two or three of them out there, all by different entities, and the conclusion is that very large numbers of people are not only buying online, which may not be surprising, but they're buying from producers in other countries.
Yep.
Called cross-border e-commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's double digits in Asia, in Europe, of course in North America. The Canadians, interestingly enough, 90% of the sample had made a cross-border e-commerce purchase in the last year.
When you say cross-border, it sounds like a special exemption kind of thing. What does it mean?
Well, it basically means that you're buying from a producer in another country. You're importing something, and the something is being exported by the U.S., Chinese, or whatever producer who has either a website of their own that can do transactions, or they're part of one of these big platforms like Amazon and Alibaba and eBay and so forth.
Right, but are they making the transfer of goods across through customs? Are they minimizing that? Are they making the currency conversions for people? Are they doing all that?
They have that capability for sure. And now the small U.S. business that has something good and interesting that sells well here in the United States and could sell well someplace else, you can actually turn all of the stuff that gives people the most trouble, who are the exporters, the documentation, the regulations, the whatever, you can assign that to one of these large platforms, and they'll do it all for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't always want to do that in every case, because that increases the cost to you, and thus to the consumer. If you have a website, and it does have the e-commerce, I mean the transactional capability, and many of your listeners out there have such sites, then you can do that. You can do the fulfillment yourself. It's not all that difficult, but and it's getting easier because there are new add-ons and apps that you can acquire that will do all of that stuff for you. It sort of sits on your website, and it will do all those transactions for you. And the buyer will not know that there's a third party that's doing all of that for them, unless you want them to know.
Very interesting. So are you talking about a white label kind of thing?
Yes, it's sort of a white label, but you have to think about it in a couple of different ways. One is that the pain point for the foreign buyer doing these cross-border e-commerce purchases is the trust.
Right.
They really have issues at this juncture in the development of this marketing channel with people that they don't know or brands that they've never heard of. So until that shakes out, the exporter, have to understand that this may be a obstacle because they're coming to your site, they don't know you from Adam, and they're wondering whether they'll get what they're paying for.
So many, think about that, folks. The trust factor raises its head again. We've been talking about that for a long time, haven't we, ladies and gentlemen? Doug Barry and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.